Hello and welcome to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
And we've got an exciting show for you today.
So exciting. You have no idea.
I'm pretty pumped. I don't know about you.
He's hanging from he's hanging from the ceiling fan.
Literally hanging
That's
from the ceiling fan.
That's how excited he is.
And it's a good thing we got a new microphone, because then you'd actually be able to hear me if I was hanging from the ceiling fan. And our microphone is actually thanks to one of our guests today.
Not me.
Not you.
Not me.
No, because you're not a guest, you're a host.
So I'm saying.
There's a lot of responsibility in this. I don't know if you realize that. I'm sorry. I depend on you a lot, don't I?
Mainly for bad jokes.
Well, right.
That's pretty much
yeah,
it.
That's pretty much it.
That's my job.
And making fun of me.
Yes.
But they're also bad jokes. So, yeah. That's kind of how we roll here. Please welcome our wonderful guest, our own personal Santa Claus.
No build up here.
No, not at all.
That's how we do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, my father, Mark Mullen.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
You.
You know.
It's all right. I'm really glad to play around with this, because I like your podcast and the things that you've written. And
yeah.
It's nice that new dads are being new dads and are proud of it.
Yeah.
There was a generation where dads just split.
Yeah.
You know, came home and checked in. And so this is cool. This is very cool.
That actually reminds me of, I don't know, well, I know you probably didn't see it since you don't have cable.
What's that?
Jimmy Fallon started on The Tonight Show this week, and he had Jerry Seinfeld on.
Yeah.
As his, you know, first comedian, and he did a riff about parenting these days and how we're all too involved. He's like, I don't know how things changed. You know, we have to go through, like, read 6 or 7 books to our kids, putting them to bed. He's like, you know what my bedtime story was? Darkness. Go to bed, shut the door.
Oh, my goodness.
So that reminded me.
My mother swore that there was a cult of children when parents changed from the 1950s, let the wolves raise them.
Okay.
To caring about it. I think it's better this way.
Yeah, I like it better this way.
It's more fun. I really enjoyed being a dad. And still do.
Well, yeah, you still are.
Yeah, you're never going to get rid of us.
I hope not. I hope I don't outlive you either. That would really be something.
And it's funny talking, you know, being involved dads. I was, before I came over here, I was in my basement crawling through, you know, the little tunnels, like the tube tunnels.
Yeah.
That kids tube have. Tunnels. And then their little tents, which Sophia got for her birthday yesterday. 2 gigantic tents in my basement. Yay!
Yay.
So she's like, Daddy, crawl through. I'm like, I am stuck.
Nice.
This little tube. And I'm army crawling. Like, I can't move. I'm just like, I wish people could see what I'm doing.
Serpentine.
But, yeah, just my arms are forward and my legs are flat, and I'm just like inching forward.
You're just a Nick sausage, is what's going on.
I don't ever want to hear that phrase again.
Well, hey.
But those are cool toys. You guys got cool toys for your kids.
Yeah.
We had very strange toys. We actually, in our school, right, it's supposed to be this environment of safety. Our school had a toy in the kindergarten. Special playground for the kindergarten.
Yeah.
They were full-size wooden barrels with the ends knocked out.
Okay.
Now, they were painted with pastels. The idea was you got in them and rolled down the hill and hit the fence.
Nice.
There would be such a team of lawyers watching this.
With helmets and elbow pads.
If you put your finger out the bunghole, you know, it would hurt. It would hurt a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and then everybody would, it hurt a lot. Okay. That was monkey bars with no pads under them.
Wait, do they have pads under monkey bars now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they usually have, most of the playgrounds have, instead of the wood chips, it's like the tire rubber, you know, tire rubber.
Get those steel belts.
Yeah. I mean, even when I was in kindergarten and elementary school, there's the huge metal, like, chunks,
mm-hmm.
like, almost, I can't think of the word. The spiral bars.
Rebar.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've used rebar before, I should know it. Like, you see it, it's sticking out like an inch off the ground. You fall off the monkey bars, knee into some rebar.
Yeah. And that's the one thing you always hit.
You couldn't graduate from elementary school without a serious head injury.
Oh, yeah. Running into the soccer net. I never did that.
We didn't have soccer. Yeah. That was foreign.
Them European people.
Well, I never understood having a ball that would not roll and had points on it.
Right.
It was dumb. Yeah. You know, yeah. So. And when they started making them out of rubber, which meant they didn't need laces anymore, they made rubber laces on them. Well, that's just dumb.
Yeah,
you know, the laces were a compromise. And this thing would wobble.
You okay?
I'm still hacking. I'm still hacking a little bit. I feel a lot better, though.
That's
since
a plus.
Last week.
I mean, our audio is going to be terrible.
Right, right. But, I mean, you know.
Cough, cough. Word, word. Cough, cough, word, word.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I will do my best. Actually, I'm going to make a cup of tea.
See, we're fancy. We make tea while recording podcasts.
Exactly. Super fancy people.
Because, once again, we're doing it at the kitchen table. Not on. At.
Not on at?
Last week.
Last week I may have made a comment.
That we were doing it on the kitchen table.
Yeah. Just to be silly.
So it's all about prepositions now.
Right.
Parts of speech.
Which I've never really been good with.
Okay.
Yet you can speak.
Yes.
And yet you can write.
It pretty much, it goes all right. It goes pretty well.
Well, we'll credit your mother with that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
All I did was speak excessively.
Right.
And never end a sentence with a preposition. Do it all the time.
I have no idea.
Well, you see, it's safer to just never end a sentence. Just keep talking.
Yeah.
So just have one perpetual run on?
Yeah. Yeah. Punctuation is for the weak.
Unless it's your job.
Everything is a comma.
Yeah. Oh, my job is to write, so I have to not make run-ons. That wasn't even a good structured sentence.
Well,
I don't care.
You read the newspapers nowadays, you wonder if they're even speaking the language.
There.
But the similarity between comma and coma.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference between the two is one is a longer pause than the other.
See? Oh, Lord.
So,
hey, well, you grew up with me.
I know, and I made it. I made it out the other end.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
So, one of the tags for this episode is going to be grammar puns.
Grammar puns.
Grammar puns.
You should write that down.
That should be a hashtag.
Grammar. That's
what it's going to be.
Yeah, grammar.
I'm going to spell grammar wrong.
Probably. I always spell grammar wrong the first time.
Well, you use an E?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things where I see, like, on Facebook or Twitter, and someone goes on a rant about someone using grammar improperly, and then they'll put hashtag grammar Nazi and spell grammar wrong.
Yeah.
Kelsey grammar. It's a different language.
Yes.
Yeah. I still correct people's speech. It's a flaw.
While they're talking?
Oh, absolutely. Well, especially Ben, you know. He'll get that. me and my brother instead of my brother and I, or my brother and me. And it's just one of those foibles. It just makes me a little nuts. And the S on toward. There's no S on toward.
Going towards something.
It's not towards. There's not more than one of them. It's forward, backward, upward, downward, toward. Toward. No zzz.
Look. Look.
Oh, your mother's in the next room going, oh, there he goes.
I am a product of my generation, I suppose. No. And everybody around me is your generation.
You're a great writer, and you're very well spoken. Something sunk in there.
I guess so.
Because you went to high school with a bunch of people that said,
duh. That was literally my high school. There's a whole bunch of people walking around bouncing into each other.
That was the alma mater. It was duh, like,
exactly,
duh,
yeah.
Dude.
So many likes in a sentence.
So that was your school song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your graduation song, was it the dude song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude song.
Dude.
I forget one of them.
Should remake the. You ever hear the old song Duke of Earl? Duke of Earl. It's very early 60s. You should do a dude. Dude.
They used that song for. Yeah. For Hellman's Dijonnaise mustard.
Do they really?
They were back in the 90s when it first came out. It was Dijonnaise.
Nice.
And Hellman's. Yeah.
Dijonnaise.
Yes.
The random things
like
that we remember.
French sedan.
It's just the fancier Dijon mustard.
Yeah.
Die, John.
Would you like some grape bomb? Oh, man.
You have to be fancy to have grape bomb.
Yeah,
grape powder. Well, you know, it's coarsely ground mustard with wine in it, you know.
Yeah.
Which means that they didn't finish grinding the mustard seed, so it's unfinished.
Yeah.
And they said, well, just put some more vinegar in it and give it to them. You know. Give this to the Americans.
They'll eat anything.
So I wanted to talk about technology a little bit, especially with let's say comparisons of raising your children in the early 90s and now, like especially now as we got, what is it, baby Brezel, right?
Yeah.
It's a combination steamer, a chopper, grinder, mincer. Just all in one gigantic thing.
Well, it's an appliance.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's essentially, you know, how could we possibly make this as easy as possible to do?
Yeah. Until you have to clean it.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you guys, while we were growing up, did you use more, like, actually go out to the store and buy celery and grind it up, or?
You know, we never really made our own baby food.
Okay.
There were a lot of people who were doing it, but I'm not sure exactly why. Probably just too much trouble. And you guys didn't stay on baby food very long. You started eating furniture and passersby. And,
yeah.
So
still does.
You know, it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, when we were supposed to be giving you this slippery stuff, you know, and you wanted to eat Chinese food. And,
right.
You know, we have a picture of your brother sitting there in a high chair with a rib in one hand and
an egg roll in the other.
That's awesome.
And our doctors would say, if they'll eat it and if they can handle it, give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, until it came out the other end and then it was very sad. But, you know, we came out of a generation where, you know, everything was wind up, you know, and then they invented the blender and we were awestruck, but... I've always been a kitchen gadget guy. It drove your mother crazy. Because our division of labor was I would mess up the kitchen and she would restore it to a wholesome state. But, you know, blenders and mixers and food processors and stuff. But we never really, never made our own baby food.
Yeah.
That was for people who wore Birkenstocks and flipped their hair a lot. Well, you know, we went the best.
You know. All natural.
And we were fools. We thought Gerber had our interests at heart.
Yeah.
Which we found out wasn't true later, but...
Do you guys make your own?
We don't, actually.
We haven't.
Yeah, we've gotten the baby Brezza as... Did we get that at the baby shower?
No,
I don't think
no.
I've ever seen it.
We
tend
to make our own, however. Gerber is pretty good about not using a lot of preservatives.
Yeah.
And they've always been
there. When you look at the back of the packaging on Gerber, it's nice to just see, you know, when I look at the thing of peas, it just says peas and water.
Right.
And that's it, yeah.
And quite frankly, your mother led the way on that. She was very particular about these things.
Yeah.
And somehow, I don't know if they plugged her into a machine somewhere, she knew this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I had to step back and be in awe of her knowledge base on this. The only thing that I really objected to was the, and they still make them, I think. I see them on shelves. The little meat sticks. I don't think I've ever seen the more disgusting
weird
thing to eat. And I don't know. I don't know if you guys ate those or not, but I wouldn't have been around.
I don't think I've seen them. Four babies?
Yeah.
For all the bad things it might be in a hot dog, that looks like it's bad. But I don't know.
Now, what about, I mean, obviously with us, car seats are, you know, like that's just what we know. I don't remember, obviously, when I was a baby, being in a car seat. What were car seats like, you know, when... This chap and, you know...
Well, they weren't that much different. I mean, it looked like something, you know, from Apollo space mission as far as, you know, the sides came around and all.
Right.
But while we were bringing up baby, car seats really came out in force. In fact, That was when they first initiated you can't take your baby home from the hospital if you don't have a car seat.
Okay.
They wouldn't let you take the baby, which was really cool. It was a good thing. I mean, my generation, another rite of passage was falling out of an automobile while it was moving. You know, really, at the food fair parking lot, I'm out.
Yeah.
Mom just made a big U-turn, came around, you know, and then yelled at me for falling out of the car.
Why was the door open?
No, because I was a kid and I was playing with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but again, this was the fabulous 50s when most cars didn't come with seat belts.
Yeah. That wasn't until, 63?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of cars from the 40s still on the road.
Yeah.
And they had to have add-on turn signals.
Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't have turn signals. But to a certain degree, this whole making an automobile safe is a farce. You want to make an automobile safe? Embed it in concrete. That's how you make an automobile safe. Otherwise, you're running with scissors.
Yeah.
But keeping the kids safe, and I mean, there were accidents where kids were just hurtled, you know, under this steel dashboard of, you know, this old Buick.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Leno does a great routine about Mr. Buick.
Mr. Buick,
the car that he lived in. You know, he had radio knobs like Bowie knives. And, you know, you get an accident, you free fall toward the windshield for 5 minutes. And they just hose it down and give it to the next guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were... And famous people were killed in accidents, and you'd read about it, and it would terrify you, and then you did something. You know?
Yeah.
So.
See, what I think is kind of funny, I mean, obviously, you know, you have the infant car seat, which we both have currently, and then you move up to the toddler one, which I have for
right.
Sophia.
Right.
And then it's the booster seat that they're in until, a lot of kids, until they're 8, which I know for a fact that I was not in one of those.
What was an option?
Yeah.
Was an option.
Now it's, you know, it's a requirement, but what's funny is, you know, you're in your car, you have a child who's between, you know, 3 and 8, they have to be in that. They get on the school bus to go to kindergarten when they're 5 or 6 with no seatbelts.
Might as well be a wooden bench full of splinters.
So inside our car, they have to be in this. Send them to school. Woo!
Huge metal lunchbox.
Yeah, with guillotines for windows.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mother and I were always very, very militant about school buses. You know, and having driven a school bus on a highway, I decided that they do not belong on any road with a speed limit more than 40. But yeah, and it's got that nice aisle so that you can really pick up speed as you're running toward that handle that opens the door, you know, rides
the panel yourself,
But we were in a period when we were raising our boys of awakening, and there were some parents who cared. And there were some parents who didn't. And a lot of times, that threshold had to do with economics.
Right, yeah.
You know, because car seats were ridiculously expensive. They were at least $15.
Yeah.
You know. But we cared, you know. Your mother was vigilant about safety.
Yeah.
I was a little bit aloof, but it caught on. But yeah. And I decided a long time ago for myself, and then we extended it to you guys, was what a dumb way to die, you know, in a car.
Yeah.
With all the things, all the dumb ways that you could go, you know, spelunking, mountain climbing, saving someone else's life. No, he was in a car.
Yeah.
You know, that's just shameful and dumb.
Yeah. You know, next week's episode, while we're recording, spelunking.
Spelunking. Why not?
It's probably impossible.
What a great word.
No.
Not impossible.
Same way one Mr. Ryan Hamilton records his Daddy Dev podcast.
So you were talking the mic on there. The tubes in your basement. That's spelunking.
Mm-hmm.
Cave exploration.
There you go.
You get in too tight. You have to butter your hips.
What we got to do is just get a rope and just rappel off our decks like 3 feet.
Yeah.
I got it. Just the whole thing about purposely going into a cave where you know it's going to get funky.
Yeah.
And you could die. You know, we spent generations getting out of the caves, building houses, specialization of labor. Heck with caves. Bah.
No, it's bats.
Bats.
They're bats.
Bats. Yeah.
Don't tell him about the bats. He'll notice them eventually. Little homage to Hunter Thompson.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure you have other topics you would like to discuss, but I, and I'm sure everybody else would like to know,
right,
what this guy was like when he was a kid.
Right.
And don't hold any... I want to hear all the bad stories.
First you can start with...
I want to see the crazy things.
First you can start with the huge head.
Oh, the great head.
Oh, yeah. The head.
He did have a large head, and
did,
which was a great. You talk about spelunking. He couldn't. He got stuck in the birthing canal,
right?
You know, and they had to take him out with a scimitar. But,
is that like a minotaur?
No, I would be hard pressed to find anything bad to say about him. He was a great kid, always cheerful, very much like Emma, very very cheerful all the time, and. And he had two older brothers, which is a handicap to begin with. The ritual beatings began early.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
But no,
that's a joke, by the way, for those of you listening with no sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, no, there were no rituals, really. We just beat him.
Right.
We just beat him.
The other thing was, besides the effect of older brothers, because
right.
maturity bleeds down, I was the youngest of four boys.
Okay.
Your sophistication level is enhanced generally by that. But we were living in Boy Scout camps and Girl Scout camps.
Okay.
So there were a lot of people around, varying types of people, of all different ages. So he was influenced by a lot of this stuff, but in a very civil way. I think the two worst things, the influences on you were Mark Spera, when he taught you, oi.
Yeah.
You know, taught you to talk like an old Jew.
Yeah.
And Mark Spera was not. And my father, who taught you to adjust your crotch and spit.
Every time I tried to throw a baseball.
In order to play baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
first two rules of playing baseball. Always grab your crotch and spit.
Those are the first two rules.
And tapping the bat on the inside of your shoes to knock the dirt out of your spikes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Even if you're wearing Keds and it hurts. But he was. And it was great fun. And all of them were fun, but he was the most fun, I think. And maybe it was because we knew we were done with this. and he was the intentional child, you know, new house, new baby, and it was just a blast. And the cool thing, and I don't know if people wax on this very much, I hope that you guys do, is just one thing to love your kid. But when your kid actively loves you back, it's really, really cool. I mean, the whole fulfillment thing just kicks in, and you look around to see if anybody noticed, you know. And no, it's really cool. So he was a lot of fun. And then he was one of these guys, right out of the gate, he wanted to hang around with Dad. You know, we would, of course, I'm living in a Boy Scout camp, so we would go outside and build a fire for no reason. We just, you know.
Just to do it.
Nothing. It's 2:00, build fire.
Yeah.
But we would go far away from the house for insurance reasons. But he referred to it as making a burn.
Yeah.
And so we all did that. We all called it making a burn. But my wife has great memories of watching us walk out from this one particular farmhouse across the meadow, him in a diaper doing that diaper walk.
Yeah, doing the waddle.
Holding the hand or not. Going
sometimes out, holding a stick.
Yeah, I have to have a stick. And going out to make a burn. And these were really fun things. And getting in Dad's truck. And,
stealing Dad's truck, yeah.
Now, in general, as a family, humor was very important to us. You know, but he early on developed a sense of humor that was really sophisticated for a little kid. And it was fun. And, you know,
no wonder
I don't have any horror stories. The only real horror story, which I have to take, I have to own some of, is when he was, you were 16, I believe.
Okay.
We were up at, in North Jersey.
Yeah.
And we were, one of your other staff member friends was sitting there. We were talking about the fact that the road we lived on, that the speed limit really was higher than most people thought. And you guys got in a car to go get ice cream.
Yeah.
And this kid drove as fast as he could, and you got in an accident. And it's the nightmare call, you know, where you get a call from somebody saying your kid was in a car accident. And it was, 200 feet from the house in the woods?
Yeah.
Car was torn in half.
I think
Literally.
You told me about that one.
Yeah.
I may have, yeah.
And the two halves were side by side. So the front bumper and the rear bumper of the car, an old Rabbit, were right next to one another. And it's chopped right behind the driver's seat. But it was standing there, at least.
Right. Yeah.
Ended up hospitalized for a nicked spleen and stuff like that. But, wow. I felt like I put my foot in my mouth talking about the speed on the road. But also, you know, because I had to own a certain fault here. But that was the most harrowing, I guess.
Well, you shouldn't feel any fault on it, though, because even though you might have said, yeah, the road, the speed limit was actually, like, was it 50 miles or 55 or whatever?
Well, the putts didn't have to
He was still doing 85.
Yeah, he was a putt.
You know, and...
Was a life-changing lesson for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
he almost killed somebody.
Well, his mother was hoping I wouldn't kill him. You know, and she was also a staffer. She was the health officer of the camp, and we met in the road, and she had this look on her face like, "Please do not kill my child." It was it was tough. It was a tough moment, but we got through it. but again, he worked his way through it, and it became a positive experience overall. Instead of, you know, these horror stories you hear about kids that he had this accident, and then he ended up on heroin, you know, or something like that. But,
yes, I did not get that far.
No, he just went crazy for Oreos or something. But overall, I have no real horror stories to tell about the kid. And the older he got, the more fun it became.
Right. Yeah.
There were times of worry. You know, is he getting along all right socially, blah, blah, blah. But I also had, and in one of your Life of Dad columns, you mentioned about us working together.
Yeah.
You know, the dryer incident, which was just cool. That's when when it kicked in where the kid teaches dad, you know. But working together with him as an assistant ranger for me, that was just a joy, you know. And therein is the goal, you see. And my father taught me this, and I tried to pass it on, is that I would say to the boys that I'm going to keep teaching you until you start teaching me. And damned if it didn't start happening. No, really. And I just had to lay back and groove and get in with it. The other thing was my goal, and his mother also great partner in raising kids, was that I would be their dad. Mom's always mom. But I would be their dad until I didn't have to be anymore, and then we would become friends. And we did that. Now my three boys are my friends. Yeah. And that's
awesome.
As good as it can be. I mean, I just really love that, you know. And also you had to teach them that mom is always right.
That rule number one. Yeah.
Dad can be wrong. And I have to learn to handle it gracefully. And you guys, please help me be graceful when I'm wrong. But it was a partnership. They knew we were raising them.
Right, yeah.
We were very out front about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And very rarely did I say, because I said so. Because they'd spit it right back at me.
Of course, yeah. You know. I've been using that already. And Sophia just turned three, or turns three tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I've already said, why? Because I said so.
And they think about it, it's really thin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's in the Y stage, so it's, you know, we're going this way. Why? Because that's the way to go to daycare. Why? Because you have to go to school today. Why? Stop asking why.
No. You have two choices. You don't want them to stop asking.
Oh, no.
But one is, you respond by saying, well, why not? Which puts it on them.
No.
Why have I not thought about this psyche?
Or you start telling them exactly.
Mess with them like that.
Well, you see, the macadam between here and there is much smoother, and as you crest this hill, and they get
the gourd,
and pick their nose, and then they don't ask you why anymore. You know, but,
no, they just pick their nose and keep it on their finger. Say, I have a boogie.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're there for. You're there to receive mucus.
Yeah.
You haven't figured that out.
Constantly the receptacle of different bodily fluids from our children.
Yeah. Kids don't have organs. They just have ooze.
Yeah.
And it comes out whatever hole is convenient. You don't have to wear it.
Yeah. I've shared this story on here before. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
And it was Maddie, our baby, who's 2 weeks younger than Emma. A week or two after we brought her home, my wife had her at like 2:30 in the morning, changing her. Yells for me, Nick, get in here. She pooped all over the wall.
Yes.
What? Why wait till college?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
She's like, I was changing her, like I wiped her, and then she just sharted and just I was like, well, we don't get wall art, we get wall shart.
Wall shart. Yeah.
That may be my favorite phrase I've coined as a parent.
Copyright that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well,
glad I didn't take a picture.
And there is an important learning experience. Now, my oldest boy, technically, is my stepson.
Okay.
I brought a beagle into the marriage. My wife brought a child. Mm-hmm. But I started raising him when he was two. Okay. That's my kid. But as a sudden parent, I wasn't sure if I could pull this off. Until I was holding him in my arms. I was home alone with him, which was risky.
You're
out on the end of the diving board.
Yeah.
And he barfed into my face.
Projectile.
It was one of those battery acid barfs up under the eyelids. And I wiped him off first. I didn't drop him. I didn't kick him. I held on to him. I cajoled him, and I wiped him off before I wiped off me. And shortly thereafter, I got on the phone to my wife to brag about it. I can do this.
Yeah.
I can raise kids. I didn't kill the little jerk. You know. And you start to, I don't know, I started to look upon kids as partners in crime. Because I never wanted to stop being a kid, so I got to not live vicariously. I got to get down on the floor and play.
Yeah.
So I also had to deal with the kids on a very adult level to gain their trust. And early on with Frank, I would cook. I was always the cook.
Yeah.
And I was a very creative cook, and I'd put things on a table, and he would be very suspicious of them. He would look at that. And I said to him, very matter-of-factly, I think he was three, maybe two and a half, I said, I will never give you anything that I think you won't like. But if you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
And so he tested that. And, okay, you don't have to eat it. I'll make you something else, hot dogs chopped up in macaroni and cheese, which I think was what they served at the Last Supper. Then it got to the point, and all of them did it. They would look at me and they would say, have I had this? Do I like this? And you couldn't lie. You couldn't con them and say, oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because you violate that once, and they will kill you in your sleep. You can't have that. But it's a very adult approach, I think, and they rose to it completely, I was very proud of that. But they surprised me at every turn with how cool they were. Hey, cool kids. They were cooler than I was, and I thought I was all it. I don't know. He was fun bringing up.
He's
a fun kid.
Still seems that way.
Funny.
I'm all right.
Funny.
I'm all right. But real quick, just wanted to mention, we do have a new website that, well, you know more about it than I do.
Yes. We have built / I just loaded it on WordPress. A companion blog to go along with the podcast. You can currently find it at poppinbottlesdadcast.wordpress.com. Very soon it will just be poppinbottlesdadcast.com. We're going to have all of our episodes on there. We're going to have bios of me, bios of Ben, and just, we're working on a couple other things. We want to start doing some interviews, kind of like a one-on-one interviews with other podcasters, and some guest blogs, so check out for that. Currently we have two posts and all the episodes linked on there.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is currently a work in progress while we work on it.
Please excuse our mess.
Under construction.
Under construction.
That's funny.
Please excuse the randomness of our site.
Yes,
But we're getting there.
I'm currently playing around with where to have it hosted, so we can have all the episodes there. Very easy for you just to go and click play right. instead of having a link, download it, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Make it, you know, easy for the people.
Yep, yep.
To, yes, the peeps want to listen to it.
Serving the proletariat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whatever that word means.
And along
look it up and read a book.
And along with that, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Poppin' Bottles Dadcast, and on Twitter at PB Dadcast, and those are our places.
Right. And for those of you with Apple products, those of you who partake in the iPhone or iPad or
iPod.
iPod.
Or the iPood.
iLife. iHouse.
Who would name a product as for something that turns brown if you said it?
I don't know. We are on iTunes.
You can find us on iTunes. Got the little podcasting app. Search Poppin' Bottles Dadcast and hit that little subscribe button.
And you'll see our little Poppin' Bottles logo.
Yeah.
Of bottles.
And our show will go straight to your device as soon as we upload it.
Yeah.
The beauty of technology.
You're going to leave them to their own device.
I don't follow. I'm kidding. I got it.
Nick isn't the only one with the jokes today. This is great.
My brain hurts.
What other topics did you want to discuss during this dadding around with Ben's dad episode?
Well, first of all, there was one instance where I got myself in trouble on purpose.
That just doesn't make any sense.
When I was a youngin'.
Okay.
As far as this? Behaving or whatever. When I cut your headphones. You remember that?
No.
You don't seem to remember it.
No, I don't remember.
You had a favorite pair of headphones.
Oh my gosh, headphones.
For a while.
They were either Goss or Marantz, yeah.
I can't remember.
I would wear them when I was drumming.
But I thought it was interesting how much you coveted. I was probably like 7 or 8. And I was interested in how much you coveted these headphones and how they were so important. And I was thinking to myself, well, what if I just... It was like a spur of the moment thing. I was like, what if I just did this? Clip. You know.
What happened? Did I freak out?
I don't think so. Hmm. I don't know.
I mean, after your older brothers, I more or less resigned myself to the ruination of all my stuff.
Right. Especially your Volkswagen. your small Volkswagen collection.
Yeah.
Which I have one of those, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the black one. Yeah.
Yeah, I had Corgi toys that I had taken care of very carefully for years and years. And the first thing that your older brother did was take all the tires off and lose them.
I used to chew on them.
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
You know, there's your brain damage right there.
But, that explains a lot. Right.
But I think the thing that you resign yourself to, and it's not a real horrible thing, is that your life as you knew it is over.
Yeah.
When these little barbarians start running around the house, and if you have anything that's within their arm's reach, is forfeit.
Right.
You know, you can yell and you can stamp your feet, but it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your album collection is screwed.
Of course.
Remember albums? Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Records?
But generally, you guys were pretty cool about this stuff. Either because I was a real crudhead about it, or you guys were cool about it, one or the other, but never both.
Well, you were definitely one to interact with us. With these types of things, like you would show us record albums and show us how it went on the turntable and drop the needle and everything like that. And actually, one of the cool things I wanted to talk about is, you know, we're getting to the point where Emma is, you know, she's grabbing at her toys and she's figuring out how they work and everything like that.
Very facile.
And soon we're going to be on to Lego blocks, like the Mega Blocks stuff and whatnot.
You can eat those.
Well, right. And I'm just really excited. I can't wait to like build neat things. Even if it's just a top, even if we just take one block, two block, three block, right on top of each other. Look at the thing! Aha! We made a thing. That's awesome.
But you see, that's really, really important. Everybody talks about self-esteem.
Yeah.
For the sake of self-esteem, you need to feel good about yourself. You are a winner. Well, that's cockeye actually, because a lot of people lose in life. And it can be a real shock if you're not prepared for it. But self-efficacy which is not something that rolls off the tongue easily,
well, no,
is very important. And that is the sense that I can do this. You know, I did this with my hands, and look at it, and here it is. That's more important than anything. And that leads to self-esteem, positive self-esteem. But being able to do stuff, and I love getting on the floor doing stuff. You know?
Well, you were famous for going to the toy store.
Yes.
When you guys would go to buy us new things, and you would get down on the floor and play with it.
Yeah.
And especially when they still made the stainless steel, what were those construction toys?
Erector
the
sets?
Tonka trucks.
Oh, yeah.
The stainless steel Tonka trucks before they switched completely to plastic.
Yeah, Tonka, it's a Dutch word. It means you can beat someone to death with this.
Yeah. I miss my old Tonka trucks.
So I love
eBay.
I love testing this stuff out for a couple of reasons. One, durability. But the fun factor was really important. Can you put your head down on the floor and drive this by your head? And it's a neat, you know, and it's easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, I hated things that were plastic with a wire and a battery pack and a little tiny steering wheel on it.
That's kind of like a car now.
Because I knew that I would be stepping on pieces of this.
Yes.
In the dark. But the other thing was money was tight for us.
Yeah.
We had good life at everything because much was provided for us by my employer, but cash was slim. So, you know, we'd put together a couple $100 and go to the toy store. We wanted this to count.
Yeah.
You know, and I had seen so many Christmas mornings in other people's houses where it was a lot of fun for an hour and then it was, let's clean up the debris.
Yeah.
But the other thing was if you broke it, it could still be fun, even though it had a wheel missing or something. And breaking stuff was part of the learning experience. So I wanted to get stuff that was child resistant.
Yeah.
But fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus it was interesting watching the other shoppers stare at me.
You know, while you're pushing around this Tonka truck with your head.
But you know what? Zut, zut. I was doing what I was doing. I had an important responsibility with you guys. You guys had, if you weren't having fun, you were complaining about it.
Oh, man.
I'm now going to lay on the ground at the toy store.
Yes.
Yeah, get
and
involved.
Pull on stuff. Yeah. Twist it. And my axiom is, if you're not having fun,
you're not doing it right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to have fun with this stuff. It's very important. I'm full of axioms.
That's good.
Which is another word
days.
For caca.
Yeah.
Just call them dad proverbs.
Dad proverbs.
Dadverbs.
There you go. Dadverbs. That
can
be
start with prepositions.
That could be a whole new thing on our site, actually.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, dadverbs. All
right. Dadverbs number one. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
So, you're not doing it right.
So, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right.
Right.
But we'll put it on the site, and then you can check back.
Yes.
And maybe it'll even turn into an app. Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be absolutely insane.
That's like an ape with no E.
And two P's. Yeah. Right, well, we've got a whopping minute and 8 seconds to go.
You got any messages for the masses?
Other than, I'm really glad to see that people are into being dads, as new dads. But remember, you got to make this last. I'm still into being a dad, and I fart dust. So it's supposed to be fun forever, you know, and stay interested in it and marvel in it. So I'm so glad that my kids have kids, because that's revenge.
Revenge in its finest.
Absolutely.
A dish best served as a little one.
And I said a different F word on the radio, and I apologize.
That's fine.
My wife is in the other room cursing me right now.
My goodness gracious. Well, until next week, people, have a good week.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was very spontaneous and
man.
Downright time consuming.
All right, everybody. Have a good week.